Beloved, you are now tuned in to Three Black Men, a podcast by three black men where we talk about theology, culture, and the world around us. The following content may not be suitable if you ain't real enough. Listener discretion is advised, because real recognize real. Here's the hope when we look familiar.
Hey, family. Hello. So it's two black men this time. And it's two of us. And since you all enjoyed when Samuel and I had just a stripped down conversation, here we are. But it's Trey and I. So here we are. And I wanted to sit down with Trey and talk about translation, and we're just going to talk like we normally be talking. And yeah, I think the first question that I would ask you, brother, is why translation? Like, why did you feel the need to start it? And kind of what went into dreaming up this podcast?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I'm gonna keep it real, because you said it's how we talking. the three of us had a conversation that was prompted by you. We talked about the vision for our podcast, and you had talked about wanting to do like a spinoff where you got to have conversations of a different nature and with other people in a more intimate setting. I sensed that there was a bit of nervousness on your part that you were going to be received as someone who was trying to drift away and do bigger and better things, which I don't think either one of us felt, because at the end of the day, like, you rob, like, that's your bag. Just talking to people is what you do. But you were also very adamant in including us, and like, yo, I'm not trying to just do this thing. Like, I actually see all of us reaching out into our own gifts, like, under the Three Black Men imprint. And you had that conversation with us, and in my mind, I was like, you know what? Cool, I actually got something that I've been like kind of kicking around in my head for a minute. And it was actually originally in my mind, I had this idea of a book. I wasn't sure if it was gonna be like a full translation or a paraphrase rather of the Bible, or if it was gonna be a commentary, because I started doing this thing every now and then where, like, even doing my personal Bible studies or just a Bible story would pop in my head, I would just like tweet it out in like my plain language, right? And people tend to receive that like really well. Like, it's cool that you put it that way. And I, you know, Ben, our brother, shout out Benjamin Young, he was like, oh man, it's the new living translation. That's fire. And Ben, he's always been like such an encourager of us three as a unit, of us three individually. He sends like thoughtful gifts. He's always thinking of other people. Like, he's a dope brother in that regard. But even like, he had said that one day, like, New Living Translation, and I bookmarked it, and I was like, that's hilarious. So when you were brought up this whole thing about like reaching off, because I was sitting there, and I'm intimidated by the idea of writing like books still to this day. And I'm trying to start getting into the habit of putting some things together and mapping it out, but that had always like intimidated me. So how this thing was going to come to fruition was tough for me, until you brought up this idea of the podcast. And I was like, you know what? That sounds doable. And I think you even remember at one point, because we had talked about it, and I was on the road. I was in Dallas at a conference at the time, and I was like, yo, like, I need to get this down. Like, I almost went and bought a mic while I was on the road to do this stuff. But I started writing up on a couple things, and I did the trailer. And then from then on, it was like, yo, I think I know what I'm trying to do with this. And that's how the podcast itself was born. It was born of what I already tend to do in my own like personal life with the Bible. Like, yo, what is this actually saying? And then, okay, how can I present this in a way that it reveals both about like me and how I communicate and how I interact with these scriptures, and how that places me in the greater global community. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I do remember those initial conversations, and I think for me, what I think watching that early formative portion of you come alive with the germination process was pretty cool because I think it was a spark as it started to grow because often people say, we don't need any more podcasts, we don't need any more creative endeavors, especially from men. And since we're here talking, we can be honest.
And they be right half the time, but
No, I think we have to
I
distill what we mean by that.
yeah.
Often I think nuance is lost when people are just shooting from the hip, right?
Yeah.
I think people, it sounds cute when someone says it.
Yeah.
You're right. Like I think what's lost in that is what do you mean by that? Right? Like
Yeah, because I think
because
intrinsically we think of the fact that there's a bunch of podcasts that seem kind of the same. Like, okay, so I said that tongue in cheek, like they probably
yeah.
have the time. Remember when we discovered that there's another three black male podcast?
Yeah.
Right.
Stop.
Sorry. I'm
No,
sorry.
I'm just kidding.
But you could check the dates and see who came first, is all I'm saying. Like we didn't
True.
need another three black men podcast, right? And I think when I say like, oh, maybe right had the time, like we don't need a bunch of people trying to do the same things. But I think that people showing up as authentically as possible, not only for themselves, but for the communities that they're a part of and in the communities that they're a part of. I don't think that we could ever have too much of that.
Exactly. And I think what we don't need, personally, my personal opinion, no one asked me, but this is my podcast, this is my Patreon community, is more misogyny, more hate, more violence,
Say that part, yeah.
right? More tearing down of what it means to be holy and sacred. I think it's full, full off of it. And I think
You can keep
I know, right? You can definitely keep
it.
it because, to your point, showing up as one's authentic self, there is beauty in the manifold expression that people are longing for, people are hungry for, thirsty for. And it's beautiful to me. And I think watching you uncover your voice, your expression, what you wanted to do, how you wanted to do it was unique. And even the format of how you wanted to do it was just so beautiful in uncovering that. And I also want to say this before we even get into the specifics of your pod is I think what people are losing in saying we don't need more fill in the blank is a lot of us who have stood on the outside of gatekept communities. Where else would you hear us? And you're not thinking when you say we don't need more fill in the blank, you're not realizing that for many of us, we don't have another way in to the halls of power, right? And so, for us, we stand at interesting intersections of our identities, right? We're Christians, we're Black, we're trying to divest from toxic forms of patriarchy. So that limits, where we would speak, where we would do theology. Where else should we go? Where, so we have to create our own lane, create our own tables, which we've spoken about in previous podcasts. And so, yeah, we don't need another podcast. We don't need many things. so
You don't need any podcast. It's not a necessity. But but since we're here, might as well. You know, like it's one of those situations. Like, does the world need content? Technically speaking, no. But at the same time, yes. Like, that is part of what makes us human. If you think about it, like, we call ourselves content creators right now, but creation is something as old as time itself. You got people who etch things into the walls of caves, and we learn things about societies that way. We have people who share stories about their origins and how they came to be, and some of those things are enshrined to scriptures, and we have whole religions that have been found around those things. Do we need those things? Depends on who you're asking. Because for some people, those very things are life. Like, those are how we derive our identity. Those tell us about who we are and how we've come to be. So, matter of fact, that whole statement in and of itself, like, oh, we don't need more podcasts. That's a real odd thing to say. And it's kind of like in that regard, because I joked earlier, like, oh, they're right half the time. Like, okay, yeah. But at the same token, like, that is how culture works. Like, we make things. We share things. And the things that are passed down and cherished help define people. There'll be people, and I'm not trying to like sound vain when I say this, but there's going to be people like somewhere down the line, 100 years from now, if the world's not over by then, global warming or whatnot, but people who I haven't even thought of yet, who will be impacted by some of the things that we've shared in these podcasts, because that is how culture and identity is transmitted, you know?
Yeah, it's true. And so, I mean, you don't have to partake. keep it moving. And so I, you know, to your particular podcast, I was struck when you went from cautious timidity to like, I need this in my life. You're like,
it's still well, it's maybe it's not cautious timidity, maybe it's reckless timidity at this point, because I'm still
I'm saying at the beginning,
I know
the beginning conversation, and then I need to buy a mic right now. I'm like, wait a minute. And then all of a sudden you created a graphic and everything. I was like, wait, whoa.
Yeah, man, it hit me like with such clarity, because at one point, here's the thing, like when you said that you wanted to do a spinoff, like it was kind of clear in my mind what that would look like, because you are relatively consistent in that way, even though you've done a lot of diverse things that I hadn't anticipated. But like you've done readings of your home poetry, so that's not to like pin you down in the corner, but like I could see like, no, this is Rob's bag, like that. And when you were you had a previous podcast with another organization that you had Sam and I as guests on, and then me other time, so like I could see you doing that. Me, I've been parts of other podcasts before. I used to host one with my wife like way back. I'm a part of a basketball podcast, but like when it was in terms of me, just my voice, I was like, yo, I don't know if I can do that. Like, I don't know if I can carry that. So yeah, to that extent, there was a cautious timidity. And then when I realized that like, I didn't have to sit there and dream up something out of stock, I can deal with what was already in me, right? Like if I have this whole translation thing going on, I'm like, wait, why don't I do it this way? And I'm like, man, is anybody gonna listen to me talk about the Bible 45 minutes at a time? And I was like, wait, why would it have to be 45 minutes? And pause, by the way, I do now recognize there are people who will listen to me talk about the Bible for 45 minutes at a time. And I don't say that to be vain. I say that because I've seen other people do it. And I'm like, oh, I can do that. Like, I'm not really shooting from the hip. I'm knowledgeable about a lot of this stuff. But at the same time, like, I don't know if I want to listen to me talk about the Bible for 45 minutes at a time. That was one of the things that was that was also an impediment for me. Like, how do I really want to do this? And then when I realized, like, yo, I don't have to. Like, I could do it in small chunks, which now I'm finding a lot of people feel is too short. And to them, right now, at least, I say, too bad. It's gonna stay that way for a minute.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that It's kind of taxing for me, even at this short length, just because there's a lot of emotional risk I put myself at, because I'm dealing with scriptures that people around the world from all sorts of different cultures, all sorts of different religious traditions, revere in such a way that me handling it in the way I do, like, it's opening myself up to criticism, claims of irreverence and heresy and things of that nature, right?
Yeah. And I, so, yeah, can I say this? Let's talk about one of the first episodes.
Okay.
And then this will go even into the nuance of the format, et cetera.
Yeah.
And share as much as you would like. And I can't even remember the specific text.
I think I know exactly which one you're talking about.
Well, well, I think what is unique about your show is the fact that, hey, in these 15-minute breakdown, you cover a lot of ground. And I have always thought, hey, less is more, and we don't need a lot, brother. And I think even in the initial conceptions and us talking, like, brother, you don't gotta be, this doesn't need to be a theatrical piece.
Yeah.
Just get in there and get out, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember in one of your first episodes, I think you were going to use a word.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, helping you edit. And I was like, hey, brother, I don't know if you want to use this word. Yeah. You're like, you sure? And I'm like, yeah, this might not go off the way that you, this with the audience. And what I love in our back and forth dialogue, and to your point that you were just making a moment ago, is this really is work and rigor for you. And someone listening on the other side might just think that you're just paraphrasing, just not thinking. I want you to take us for a moment into the preparation, because it sounds so smooth and easy, someone literally might be thinking, hey, Trey just come sits down with the Bible. He's not really thinking. There's no real preparation. He's like, I just this is what my thoughts are on the Bible, and boom, okay, you ready to record? No, because even in that dialogue, you're like, well, I think it's faithful to the text. And I'm like, yeah, it's faithful to the text, brother. I get you. But I saw how much you had thought about it. And that let me know, no, there's working genius in here, right? Yeah. And so take us into that preparation in general.
Yeah. So just to remove, like, pull back the curtain, because he said share as much as I want. You're talking about the episode I did on Judges 11. We talked about Jephthah. The name of the episode was Jephthah El Hefe, right? And the word in particular, I'm not going to say it because I don't want to offend anybody, but we were talking about his mother, and the Bible heavily insinuates that his mother was an immoral woman, a prostitute, that she was a night worker, right? And you can probably go ahead and figure it out yourself now. I use the word that is most common in our urban vernacular nowadays to describe someone of that, right? A word that Ludacris is very prone to using. And I used that word. I just dropped it in there. And I remember you was like, hey, bro, like you said, like, I don't know if this is going to land the way that you wanted to. Or no, matter of fact, precisely what you had said exactly was like, a large part of your audience will not have a problem with, but there is a very specific part that might take issue with this. And then I was like, yeah, but it's faithful to the text. And I maintain that is faithful to the text. But what you helped me realize is that when I don't want to be an obstacle to people hearing what I'm trying to say, because at the end of the day, like, that word in and of itself, and me, it didn't even make the episode. Like, I literally went and re-recorded that part and took it out, because you were like, oh, I could bleep it out. And I was like, nah, because then people might fill it in with an even worse word, you know?
People are like, what was he saying?
Yeah, right. So I went and I re-recorded it, because at the end of the day, like, we have, especially if the premise of my show is about paraphrasing and the importance of language, like, we have enough words that I can still communicate that idea without that particular hot button word, right? So I think I ended up using something like Lady of the Night. I can't remember.
I don't remember what I said.
But just the whole idea of when I'm sitting down with this text, with any text, my question is, okay, what were they trying to get across? And in that moment, I felt that they were trying to talk about Jephthah's scandalous background, right? Like the fact that he was not viewed as an honorable person of noble stock or whatever. And then the question then becomes like, okay, how would that be committed? If I were telling a similar story, if I was trying to communicate that same idea, what words would I use? Because I don't necessarily come from a culture that has the same idea of nobility. Like even when you talk about, I was looking up about Judge and future Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, right? And about her husband, who I can't remember his name. We're just gonna call him Mr. Jackson because that's his name. But I was reading that his family is considered Boston Brahmin. Now, I had no idea what Boston Brahmin was. So I had to go look up Boston Brahmin, and it is in effect, like it's talking about old stock. Like he could trace his ancestors back to people who served in the First Continental Congress of the United States. Like people who are heavily associated with Harvard University, like going back, that Harvard being the oldest school and stuff like that. And even that reality that's present in our day is foreign to my vernacular, to my knowledge base. So the whole concept of like nobility and everything was foreign to me. I'm like, how would I like communicate that? How, if I was talking to my boys, how would that go? And I'm like, oh, his mama was like, she wasn't nobody. And so it's a matter of taking ideas. Here's why I can never pretend that this is a formal translation process or a word for word translation process. When I'm very open about what I'm going for, it's thought for thought or even feeling for feeling, idea for idea. Like how would I communicate this reality, this truth, if I were telling a very similar or the same story today? And that tends to be how I do that. And honestly, it's something that makes me nervous for the fact there's people who are like, oh, I still ride with the King James because it keeps the poetry alive. I'm like, well, poetry evolves too, you know? Like I can read Shakespearean sonnets and appreciate their artistry while acknowledging the fact that's not what I'm listening to in my free time. You know, like Kendrick Lamar is a poet in his own right. And he don't talk like that. Yeah. So just the idea.
Because
like even when I'm handling other texts like Psalms and stuff, that makes me nervous because those are meant to be poetic, right? So I have to wrestle myself like, how am I going to communicate this? And then I think about like how I fell in love with poetry. I used to watch Deaf Poetry Jam, and poetry has a very different, like, meter isn't always as important to everybody. Like, sometimes it'll be stuff like alliteration or just the passion with what you're saying a certain line. So how can I, like, put emotion in here to get across that, like, no, this is an artistic expression that we're dealing with. So there's a whole bunch of different considerations I have to take to let people know that I'm taking this seriously while still trying to be authentic to, like, the people I'm trying to communicate with.
No, I love that. And it lets you know it's appearing into the creative process. I think often people assume, you know, I wouldn't know that unless I heard you talk about it, right? I think there is this myth of the creator and not knowing, especially of the theologian creator. Of how it's going down. But what I love in that is there is a thoughtfulness and there isn't just a waywardness. And what I love about that is I think it explains why, one, that there can't be like frequent translations that are coming out like all the time, like, I'll just release them all the time. And why can't you do my favorite one? You know, tomorrow it's like, oof. And tell me if I'm wrong. And it probably explains why certain passages of scripture lend itself more easily to being dissected in more easily readily available to translation than other passages, right? Like like there are ones that are okay, this goes, this passage of scripture, Jesus being outside the gate,
Yeah, like, okay, so
this probably don't go like that. I mean, I could do it. It's just that would just maybe take a little bit longer, right?
Right. And a lot of it for me, like there's certain, okay, storiers, for instance, stories are typically a little easier for me to do because the stories have beginnings, middles, and endings, right? Like, then now the stories are naturally something that we pass down through cultures and generations. That's like one of my favorite scriptures or stories of scriptures that actually became a translation episode thus far was Story of the Ethiopian Eunuch, right? And that's a little easier for me because retelling stories is it's natural. It's what we like. They redid Romeo and Juliet in a million different ways. We got all these different things like that. Bel Air from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, retelling stories is easy. But when I think on two different occasions now, somebody's requesting one that I actually took to heart. And don't start sending in all your requests and thinking they get it done, because that's not how
it's going to the spam folder, y'all.
Well, not even, because sometimes like I think
no, it is, okay, stop, like,
cut it. But okay, Psalms are a little tougher for me, right? Like stuff like that. And then there's other things like they went on.
Okay, then I'm requesting the Book of Revelation. Go. The whole one. You know, go. What?
I'm gonna touch it. I'm gonna touch on it one day.
Okay. This is my house. This is my house behind me. Book of Revelation. Next one. Go.
But
you know, start with Revelation chapter one. Go.
We gonna get there.
Don't try to hustle me because with the stutter, if you huh, you can hear. Book of Revelation is the next one. Go.
Yeah, man. We not the next one, you know, just because I don't like you tell, like, I don't like,
oh, you are so prideful.
Just because I don't like being told what to do. Not the next one. Now it's gonna go on like number three or four in the queue.
Oh my
now.
God.
And then it's gonna get me in trouble with some folk because at the end of the day, another thing is
and I believe in the rapture too, and that better be in there.
My brother, you're gonna be mad at me. You know, Revelation almost didn't make the Bible.
Yeah,
like they almost didn't include it in there. As a matter of fact, Revelation, if I'm not mistaken, was not like considered universally authoritative across Christendom until well after the first couple creeds. So the ideas of like salvation and even some eschatological views had already been like put in creed form before we accepted like Revelation of water. So some people gonna be mad at me when we get to Revelation. Cause I'm like, hey man, like this book is a lot going on in here, but it ain't what a lot of y'all think it is.
I want the left behind part in the translation. So if you make that happen. That's cute and that's great, but make sure.
The left one, huh? We'll get Nicolas Cage as a guest on the translation, man.
Oh my God. Anyways, yeah. What were you about to say?
I don't even remember. See, but yeah, there's certain things, stories, like I said, that are easier for me to update. But and the Bible is full of stories, but the Bible is also full of other things. The Bible is full of I'm trying to say this carefully so that I don't upset somebody, but I know that somebody's going to be upset regardless of how I say this. So I'm going to say this the way that is most natural and factual. The Bible is also full of theology done under the guise of history, right? And I say that because, and I'm not saying that like all the history is false, but I'm saying that history is not always the main point of the history we see in the Bible. The main point is theology. Like we're trying to say something about God and God's interaction with these people. And that becomes a little bit more difficult to handle sometimes because then I have to consider, okay, what is being communicated right here? What is the goal of that? And just thinking through all that. So like you said, yeah, I get how listening to it and then you look at the cover and it's me in a Brooklyn Nets cap wearing goals on my mouth. and I don't necessarily scream reverence, but that in even of itself is an intentional choice because the Bible is a lot messier than we give it credit for. Right, like I shot off a tweet today because back when Game of Thrones is on, people was like, oh, Christians should not be watching this, and I think even retrospectively there's a valid element to that with regards to the ethics of some of the things that they made actors and actresses do that they may not have been comfortable with. But if your main issue is the content of the show, the sexual content, the violence of the show, that's not as valid a critique, because I've read King's Chronicles. I've read Samuel King. Like, I've seen what that is. Literally all that stuff is in there, like down to the incest, like down to a couple powerful queens. Like, it's all in there, right? And part of my goal in translation is making the Bible both more personable, like you being able to like relate to it a bit more, and more human, so that we can see the fullness of humanity in there. Like, it's not just, I used to hear all the time, the Bible is God's love letter to us, and that's true in some respects, but it also obscures a lot of what the Bible actually is. And one of my goals is for people to embrace the Bible in its fullness, so they're gonna have to strip it down to just this rule book, or this one-to-one correspondence from God to you, which is not what it is.
And can I say, as an observer, I think what is helpful is both the thought about the Bible and then about translation. I think the older I get, I have a looser hand with the Bible. And, you know, I've been reading the Bible almost every day since 2004. And as the years have gone by, I love it all the more. But I don't know. I'll put it this way. I hold it with an open hand, and I don't call anyone to hold it in any way. I don't call anyone to it in any certain way. Mm-hmm. Right? I don't, to your point, is it a love letter? I don't know. I do not know. Is it a rule? Not to me. And I used to have all these constricting thoughts and views on it. All I know is I love it, you know, and that's all I know. I have these thoughts on it. I have what I think it's not, but all I know is I love it. I know I love it, and I know what it's not. I know it's not that.
No, my brother. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a biology book. No.
False. Yeah.
No. Yeah. It gives us every, you know, it gives us everything in this category. No. Stop. And I think holding in that open hand allows for all that it can be, right? In those endless possibilities, shows the beauty of what the Bible can be. And I think part of that openness is what allows people who have maybe been hurt by the Bible, the confidence to come back to it again. Yeah, right. And I think that is some of the beauty of your podcast. And because I can't even say all of what your podcast offers, because I see all of the comments your podcast does receive, right? And I see the different types of people that are touched by your podcast, and not equating your podcast in fullness to the Bible. But I think your podcast points to the Bible in a way that's really beautiful. I think part of your podcast allows the Bible, it serves as a doorway to the Bible. And because it's unassuming in the sense of like, it's like, okay, here's a step up to getting back to this thing that maybe was restrictive. You got to memorize this thing. It's a rule book. You got to, you know, and it's like, it could be any of these amount of things. Right. And so that's what I think.
Yeah. And I think part of it that makes some people, even there, I think there's people who might appreciate the podcast who don't even like make a habit of reading the Bible, because I'm typically unafraid of letting the Bible be what it is, right? There are times, like I know the episode about Psalm 51 and its corresponding events in First Samuel, Second Samuel, or the David and Bathsheba episode, right? Where I let my thoughts be made known. Like, yo, David was kind of raggedy. Matter of fact, I called him a scrub in the Psalm 51 episode. I did. I used that word to describe King David, which like it was one of the things where when I played it back, I was like, should I fix that? And I was like, no, at the end of the day, like we need to, if anybody did that now, we would have a lot to say. Well, a lot of people would have a lot to say about it. And I think that that's one of those things that helps not only humanize the Bible, but make the podcast something people are willing to engage with, because, okay, we say we're not sure what the Bible is, but we know what it's not, and we know we love it. Here's one thing I will say that the Bible definitely is, right? It's a library. And when you think about that in its loosest terms, like what is a library? A library is going to be a collection of books. All of those books will not agree with each other. Right? Those books will contain diverse perspectives on some of the same issues, some of them wildly different issues. There will be different genres of books in those libraries. Some of them will be true stories. Some of them will be collections of poems. Some of them will be tales. There will be books written over a period of time from different people with different lives and different languages of origin, whatever. All of those things are true. There will also be books like, wow, this is really messed up. Like, oh, I don't like that book that much. You will read some books like, I'd rather not come back to this one. And all of those things are true of some of the stuff in the Bible, right? And when we let the Bible be the library that it is, it kind of frees us from forcing us to say and believe things that run counter to what not only our intuition is telling us, but what the Spirit of God is telling us. You know?
No, and I love that. And I think a lot of people need I've been saying this often. You know, a lot of times I put out let's say tweets as a way to gauge climate, emotional climate. And the consistent emotional climate that I feel from people is that people are weary. Well, how do I know that? Rob, how do you know that? Consistently, if I say, y'all are doing a very good job, that tweet dang near goes viral every time. I'm like, whoa, we're tired, y'all. If I say, y'all are doing amazing. Everyone's like, whoa. I'm like, whoa, y'all, we're really tired. And that doesn't sound that profound, but when I'm like, you're doing the best job you can with the resources you've been allotted. I think what's sad to me is how much people need to hear that. And so I say that because that's in my mind when I think I use that data when I'm creating, right? I'm not divorced from that data then when I think about your podcast, right? People are really tired. Anyways, I'm just going to create my own. You know, it's like, you know, and so then when I think about people's relationship to the Bible, people are really tired, man. People are emotionally very weary. People really need to know something to counter the narrative that they can't do it. That's the backdrop. and that's been the consistent backdrop for a couple years now. I don't know if it's changing anytime soon, but I think that your podcast serves this gap then with being able to come to the Bible I think for many people what I've seen is I can't even open the Bible. I think that's the consistent theme that I see from people, I can't.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, you know, fill in the blank reason. Like, child, I can't even get in the word like that. Or I am in the word, but I'm tired. I'm in the Bible. I'm reading my word. I'm just tired. And I need to hear it from a different perspective. And that's not divorced from the reality of waves hand at a global pandemic. Nobody is untired. And so I think that that's where I think a 15-minute pod distilling the word, I think, is necessary because we don't have a lot of time, brother. You know?
Well, yes. Yeah, man, that's cool. Necessary. I'm sitting with that word because I.
Because can I say this for the necessary part? I think times have changed. How has content changed in the pandemic? The landscape has changed, knowing what I just said about fatigue, tiredness, emotionally, spiritually, physically, and knowing the status of people's souls and bodies. And then people have been in the house. I need you to get in. If you're going to create some content, I need you to.
Yeah.
Bam.
Yeah.
Kablooey. You know, go ahead.
Yeah, that's facts. But even like the idea of it being necessary, I'm sitting with that and I'm humbled because one of the things, like, I literally do sit with each and every person, like everybody who shares or retweets or quotes you said, like I sit there and I sit with those comments. And I've had people like, yo, I'm in tears listening to this. And I'm both humbled and sobered by the fact that the words that I'm speaking like into this microphone are resonating with people like that. Cause like you said, people are tired. And not only that, so many people have felt battered by the Bible as a weapon, even in this time, because of course, like in a library, like if you're a lazy researcher, you can go in there and just pick up a book and say, oh, this says this, but you already went in there with that presupposition. Like so many people have been battered by that when texts are engaged with in such a fashion that number one, like this is what it says and it's not always neat. And number two, this is how this would be communicated to us if it were written today, which is a very important point. Like this is a very ancient book, written in a very, very, very dissimilar language. Like literally read it in the opposite direction of how you read our text for the Hebrew portion of the Bible, right? When I realize that people are resonating with it in such a fashion, it's indicative of, like you said, there's a certain weariness, but also there is a desire, right? Because I'm one of those people, I listen to people who feel distant from the faith they've grown up in, or even if they didn't grow up in it, or people who've walked away. And it's never, I don't want to say never, it's often not an easy thing to do, right? But what I hear in a lot of people is that they have found new ways of connecting, right? And I think that that's ultimately the point of the Bible and why we haven't discarded it after all of this time. The Bible as a library is also a connection point. And that's hard for us to understand because especially with the boom in technology, like we forget the library is for whatever else it is, it's a connection point where people gather. Like I used to go to the Bible and hear them read stories and put on little mini productions and stuff like that, right? It's also a connection point. And when you're able to like, oh, wow, there is a place for somebody like me at this connection point, even if it's not engaging with it in the same way as everybody else. Like I can sit here, even if I'm at the margins, like I'm still here at the gathering, and there are people gathered around me in this regard. And that impacts me because at the end of the day, that's why I got into this, right? Like even if, well, I don't want to say, if everybody stopped listening to the New Living Translation right now, like we looked at the metrics and it was like, Trey, you clearly have no audience. I probably wouldn't still like produce the podcast, but I'd still go through the process because like, even when I'm not recording it, this is what I'm doing. Like, what is this saying? I need this to make sense to me. Even if I don't agree with what it's saying, even if what it's saying doesn't make me feel good, what is it saying? How can I connect with this? How can I get into this library without sticking out like a sore thumb, right? Like, is what it's about for me. So I'm always humbled when I see those comments. And the wildest thing about it to me is like, I had no idea who would end up listening to this thing. Because I'm talking like Trey, the Trey who in his late 20s, early 30s decided he was gonna stop code switching. And that's how I'm approaching the Bible. I had no idea, but seeing like people from all different walks of life. And I think, I'm not sure if they just respect the fact that I'm authentically engaging with the Bible from where I'm at or what, but like, that's always humbling to me because I'm hoping that somebody feels like they have permission to engage with the Bible in their own language. Like that's always been my prayer, regardless of whether or not you talk like me or whatever. I want that for you. And I want you to know it's okay. Like it's okay to bring who you are to the text, and the text is still going to speak to you.
Amen, amen.
I talked about a new segment. We're going to talk about what's on the front burner, some things that we are excited about personally as individuals, and bringing that and sharing that with y'all.
So on the front burner for today, it would have to be knowing when to ask for help. Yeah, that would be it. It is what I am thinking about, what I am liking. And I know that in today's society and Robert's society, there is this thought and this general notion that we have to have everything together. We have to have everything put together. We have to be an island unto ourselves. But as we grow and as we shed previous toxic layers of ourselves, we have to know when to tap out. And so I am learning that slowly and knowing when it is okay to say, hey, I don't have it all together. Hey, I need a helping hand. So on the front burner for today is knowing when it is okay to ask for some help, for some exterior resources.
Because we now have a Patreon, which I want to encourage each and every one of y'all to visit at patreon.com/threeblackmen. Think through it, pray through it. Ask God if he would have you partake in this work that we're doing, because on top of some bonus content here, we have some blog pieces going up. There's going to be some devotional content coming out, and I want to encourage you guys to visit that Patreon, patreon.com/threeblackmen.
Go watch my kids ruin my videos.
Go ahead, watch them. Them babies ain't ruin nothing, man. Matter of fact, there's more people going to sign up to see them babies. How about that, bro?